I want to welcome Pastor son-in-law.
You're my son-in-law.
I don't know.
Not everybody can say that.
I don't know how that works,
but he is
my son-in-law.
That's right.
Oh, and my son in the faith, too.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Let's welcome Pastor Simon.
Aw, thanks. Love you. That's so good. He said, son in the faith. I remember recommitting my life to the Lord at 23 years old. And I remember, I was kind of running away from God. I don't know if anybody's ever had that experience before. I was running from him. And I was afraid that, I grew up in the church. My folks were believers. And I had a relationship with the Lord, but I kind of walked away from that to kind of pursue my own stuff. But I remember coming in the first time and I was terrified. And this is in the old Safeway building. And I was so scared that God was going to like hit me with like a cosmic bolt of lightning or something. I'm like, oh man, he's going to smite me if I step into church. But I'm still here. He didn't smite me. That's the good news. And I remember seeing this beautiful swath of faces. And, faces that look like a lot of what you see around here. Different colors and different races and different economics. And I just felt like I was home. And I remember Pastor Michael preaching. And it was like, I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you feel like that preacher's preaching right to you. Right? Where it's just like, I felt like I was the only person in there. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. And I remember just standing up at the altar and God really changing my life, transforming me. And I just wanted to be all in for the Lord. And I'm so thankful for you. I know we talk about and joke around about being your son-in-law, which I'm so grateful for. But I'm also glad that I'm your spiritual son and mom, you as well. And so just love and bless Michael and Brenda and their years of faithful service. Amen? Amen. As a little side note, a little opportunity for me to get weepy before I start preaching. Man, Happy New Year. Love you guys. It's so great to be in the house of the Lord. Listen, there's no place that I would rather be on a Sunday morning than right here. I would rather be nowhere else than in the house of God with the family of God. Amen. There's something beautiful that happens when we get together, and it's a joy to be able to start this new year off together. And as Pastor Michael said, we are even offering a class called Fresh Start. You know, this is, as he mentioned, it's a class that's going to be for people that are maybe brand new believers, maybe people that are exploring Christianity. They want to know about the foundations of their faith, or like Pastor said, that the people that just kind of want to go deeper, want to know more about some of the foundations. This is an exciting time. It's an exciting time. We're going to be doing these outreaches in hip-hop and reaching the community and evangelism. We want people to hear the good news of Jesus. This church is founded on outreach to those who have been overseeing, those who maybe we were down and out. And this church, the foundations of this building that you're sitting in here and the air that we're breathing in this spiritual atmosphere is pregnant with evangelism. It's pregnant with those seeds of faith, and for us to be able to come into people's lives and say, you know what, there's a hope. There's something new. There's a fresh start for you. And as we start this new year, listen, there's a fresh start for every single one of us. I mean every single one. If you've got breath in your lungs, guess what? You qualify. If you don't have breath in your lungs, we'll pray for you. Pray that God will heal you. But listen, if you're breathing here this morning, or if you're listening online later, there's a fresh start for you, amen? God's got some good things for us. And so this morning, one of these ways that we can get a fresh start, that we can have a new beginning to a new year, and I believe this is so crucial and this is so important, is by asking this question, who am I? Who am I? And how do I explore my identity in Christ? How do I embrace my identity in Christ? I think this is really one of the best possible things that we can do. I believe this is one of the most important things that we can do is explore our identity in Christ. Our identities, as we know, we talk about this identity, how you see yourself. Who do you see yourself to be? Who really are you? What do you believe about yourself? What shapes those things? What shapes our sense of identity? Well, a lot of things shape our sense of identity. Some of it's our family upbringing, the family that we grew up in. That probably has both positives and negatives for every single one of us. But we're also kind of shaped in our identity by the culture around us. A lot of us grew up in America. Some of us grew up in some other countries. But the culture that you grew up in helped to shape your identity. Your idea of God shapes your identity. All these different factors shape our experience and our understanding of who we are. Now, I know this isn't exactly rocket science, and we're probably all familiar with this. Okay, yeah, Simon, I understand that I have an identity and it's shaped by things. Well, why is that important? Well, listen, I believe that it's so important for us because as we think, so we will live out. There's a proverb that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what do you think about yourself? Who do you say that you are? What do you believe about yourself? This is so important, again, because however we feel about ourselves, however we see ourselves, we're going to actually live that out. That's going to play out in our lives and in the lives of those people around us. It's really important. And I really, really believe, and this is one of those things that it's kind of hard to talk about because, it's kind of like, well, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm pointing fingers at myself as well. I think for all of us, many of us suffer from a poor or distorted version of who we really are. People that aren't born again, people that are not, I would call them pre-Christians because you never know what God's going to do. Maybe they're just waiting. They're not non-believers. They're just waiting to be saved. Maybe they don't know it yet. But for even pre-believers, they don't understand who they are. So they're operating out of an identity. Their concept of who they are is formed by some of these other things. But listen, for us as believers, if you are a follower of Christ, if you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, that fact should shape every single thing about your identity. That fact should alter and superimpose, and I would say erase and remove false things about our identity that are not true, that don't line up with Scripture. Amen? So there's all these things, our family upbringing, our culture, all these things that shape and it's like clay. They shape us into things. They mold us into things. And if you don't think you're a result of your environment, I think you're wrong. All of us, get pickled by our environment. You know what happens when you put a cucumber in brine, don't you? It becomes a pickle. And actually, and interesting in Greek, that word is baptizo, which means baptized. It means the transference from one thing to another. So in other words, a cucumber gets baptized and becomes a pickle. It actually changes what it is. And I would say that we get changed, we get molded and shaped by things around us. And we get to choose, what do we want to allow to shape us? What do we want to give us our sense of identity? And listen, there is an identity thief out there, and it is the enemy who comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy from you. He wants for nothing more than for you not to embrace your identity in Christ. He wants for you to not believe the things that the Bible has to say about you. He wants for us to live a defeated life. And listen, he can't exactly keep us out of salvation, out of receiving this, but he can keep us from pursuing the fullness of what God says that we are if we allow him to, if we give him permission. Now, our identity, what we feel, what we think about ourselves, has to come into alignment. Anybody ever driven a car with bad alignment? I've driven some beaters. I know we've talked about that before, but some of those cars, they were beaters. I'm talking about a pickup truck that had a hole in the floorboard that was about like this. My dad had to put a piece of plywood over it so it didn't spew a bunch of snow in my face while I'm driving down the road. This thing was not road safe. It was crazy. But it also had bad alignment. And so when you take your hand off the wheel, that means that car was driving itself. It was all over the road. That's what happens when we are out of alignment with God's word in our lives and our identity. We're all over the place. Listen, I don't know about you, but we live in a world where people's identities are shaped by all kinds of craziness. All kinds of things that bring us out of alignment with what God's word is. I don't know who it was who sang that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel, but this is true, man. Jesus, take the wheel. We need God to realign us with his word. And it's so important for us as believers to understand, what does the word actually even say about my identity? So you can't just say, you know, align myself with your word and you don't know what the word is. You got to get that word inside of you. You have to start digesting it, pursuing it, following after the word and applying it to our lives. Amen? Again, John 10:10 says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Why did Jesus come? I came that they may have life and have it to the full. Listen, how many people want to have a full life? Does anybody ever feel like you're on like half a tank or a quarter tank? You're running on empty, you know, oh man, I'm about to run out of juice. Listen, we want to have a full life. Amen? So the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I believe in the space of our identities, he wants to do that. But Jesus came that we would have life and life to the full. So he wants us to embrace fullness. Does he want us up at like 40%? No, how about 50, 60, 75, 80%? No, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came that we would have life to the full. That means like completely full. I don't know about this God that you serve, but my God pours out abundantly, overflowing, pressed down, filled up, overflowing. Amen? That's the God that we serve. That's the kind of life he wants to give us, and that's how our identities should line up. He wants us to live life to the full. He wants us to have full identities because of the price that he has paid. Again, when we talk about fullness, I believe that a lot of believers, a lot of Christians, a lot of us, we're only living to maybe whatever percentage, 60% of our identity in Christ, 70%, some of us maybe 30%. And I would say that there's some adjustments that I believe that God wants us to make in this new year. As we start a brand new year, there's some adjustments to where we can say, God, I want to live my life to the full. I want to have an identity that's full of Christ. Now, here's one of the things, and I don't want to step on any toes this morning, but if I do, that's okay. But there's a saying. How many people ever heard the saying, I'm just a sinner saved by grace? Anybody ever heard that? We may say that. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, I would say, yes, that's true. But for some of us, that's where our identity as believers stops. For some of us, and I would say that that is an important, integral part of who we are. Listen, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That while we were yet sinners, Christ came and he died for us, amen? And he paid that price for us, and he died on that cross. He was buried, and he was resurrected into life. You know, this phrase, I'm a sinner saved by grace, has a lot of biblical basis, right? From Romans 3, 23 and 24, it says, for all have sinned. Say all. Look around and say, hey, you're a sinner. No. No, don't do that. Now look at yourself and say, hey, I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Another one of these scriptures, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not by works so that nobody can boast. Again, but this is where a lot of believers, I feel like, stop. It's almost kind of like we get into this perspective or this mindset that's who we are. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And while that is true, we were sinners, we were stuck in our sin, we couldn't earn salvation, and Jesus came and he saved us, that doesn't define all of us. Listen, think about in terms of prison. Let's say, because Scripture says that the wages of sin are death. So in other words, what our sin earns us is a death sentence. If you sinned before, one time, if you've disobeyed God, out of whatever, for whatever reason, if you've sinned at all one time, you're guilty. And Scripture says that you deserve death. That's rough. What happens when you get convicted? You get thrown in prison. And so if you imagine with me, we're all in this place as prisoners. Because of something that we did, we're guilty. This wasn't just kind of like, hey, it wasn't me. No, we're guilty. Our sin put us in prison. And it's like there was a judgment, and that judgment was laid down, and it was put into a prison cell, and there we are. But yet somehow, some way, Jesus comes. As the Redeemer, as the Advocate, as our Savior, and what does He do? He pays the price for our sin. On Himself, the thing that we deserve, that death sentence, He said, you know what, don't give it to them, give it to me. And so He pays the price. He doesn't just pay for it out of something. He pays for it with His very life laid down for you and me, and His blood purchased for us salvation and redemption. Amen? That's what we're talking about when we say we're sinners saved by grace, and all of a sudden we didn't do anything to deserve it, but somehow, some way, we were in that prison cell. Jesus paid the price, and all of a sudden the judge says, the prison door is open. Come on out. But unfortunately, I believe this is where a lot of us as believers stop. It's where a lot of us, we're standing in a cell while the door is wide open. It's like we're back there and we're in this cell and the door's been opened, the price has been paid, and here we are, we're standing in this cell. And we're saying, oh God, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. He said, yes, you are a sinner saved by grace, but the door is open. Go on out of the cell. Well, Lord, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I can't believe that you did this. Why would you pay this price for me? I don't deserve this. He's like, yes, I know you don't deserve this, but come out of the prison cell. But so many of us live lives like we're stuck still in that prison cell. It's like we're somehow trying to understand why God would pay such a price for something like us. Why God would redeem us from places that were so dark. God, why would you do this? Well, we spend our entire life sitting in that prison cell while Jesus said, I came to give you life and life to the full. Now listen, I didn't just open up the doors. I said, come out and live life to the full. So our identity of in Christ needs to go from standing in this prison cell with an open door to start walking in life as a free citizen of heaven, as a son, as a daughter. And listen, this is as important as that opening, as that salvation. I believe for us, it's important for us to understand that God wants us to step into the new thing and the fresh start of all that He has paid for us. Now listen to what Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 says, or 8 through 10, it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved, amen, through faith, through belief. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works that nobody can boast. Here we are, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Listen, God prepared good works for you to do. He said, I open up that prison door for you, son. I open up that prison door for you, daughter. And it wasn't so that you could just sit around in that prison cell feeling bad about the price that I had to pay. Listen, it's for freedom's sake that I set you free. I didn't want you to be captive and bound by legalism and bound by things of the law. I didn't want you to be bound by your sin anymore. I want you to live free. It is for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. But a lot of us live lives in that prison cell still. Listen, wouldn't that be crazy, like, if that actually happened? If you were on there on death row, and all of a sudden, the prison cell opens up, the door flings wide, they say, hey, you're free to go. Your price has been paid for. You're a free man. You're a free woman. What would you do? Listen, I don't know. I would high step it out of there. I'd be like, I'm going to go before they change their mind. I am gone. I am running out of that cell. That's the way that God wants us to live. You know, there's something about this scripture when it says, you know, renew my mind and take me back to my first love. Listen, some of us remember what it's like when we knew that we were in prison and that we laid hold of Jesus. He opened up that cell and we came running out of that sucker. Does anybody remember what that was like? Listen, God says we need to return to that first love, to return to that, to step back into that freedom, to lay hold of that freedom. It's the price that he paid. He doesn't want us to just live lives in captivated, enslaved, in bondage of the old things, or to have these prison doors that are open free, yet we just are sitting there. That would be crazy to stay in that cell. It's almost like we almost have something like, I call it like an Eeyore syndrome. Anybody remember Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore, the donkey?
Oh, bother. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Well, yes, you are a sinner saved by grace, but you are also more than that. You're not just that. Again, I'm not downplaying the price that Jesus paid because it was a high price. It was the ultimate price. But that is not the only thing that defines us as believers. God wants us to step into all that he has for us. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 says this. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Say new creation. The old has gone and the new is here. Hello, somebody. Hold on, I want to make sure I'm reading that wrong. The old is gone and the new has come. That's what this book says. New creation, old, gone, new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Somebody say amen to that. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. It's as if God was making an appeal to people, to the world, through us, through you, through you, through you. It's like God is making his case. It's as he's proclaiming the good news of gospel of Jesus about freedom from sin and captivity through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so we become the righteousness of God. You have become the very righteousness of God because of the price that Jesus paid. It's not about just staying in that prison cell. It's about coming out of that prison cell. It's as though God wants us to come out of that prison cell and preach the good news of the gospel, to go forth into the nations and go into our workplaces and into our neighborhoods and into our King Supers and our banks and preach the good news that Jesus has come. He set us free. He paid the price that was due on us. He set us free and he wants you to live free too. That's the good news of the gospel. That's part of what it means to live life to the full. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, it is for freedom that Jesus has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back. Don't go back. Move forward. Stop going back. Move forward. Move ahead. It's God's desire for us to move ahead, to progress, to go on with him. It's for freedom's sake that he set us free. Again, so it's so important for us that I believe that we struggle with this freedom because I think so many of us are like, man, I just can't understand or grasp that high price that you paid. Listen, you will never be able to grasp it. We will never be able to understand fully that price that Jesus paid. It's like that song we sing, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. That's truth. That's a good song, man. Listen, I will never know. We are never going to know about that high price. But Jesus didn't pay that price just for us to sit back there and just wonder why. He paid that price so that we could live as ambassadors for Christ, so that we could give our lives to something that matters, so that we could give back to the one who gave everything to us. Amen? That's what it means. He says that we're a new creation. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, is anybody here in Christ? All right, I'm looking at some new creations. You are a new creation. You've been baptized. You've been saved. You've been delivered. You've been set free. That cucumber became a pickle. You've been transformed. That's what the scriptures say. So do we have an identity that aligns with transformation? Scripture says to be renewed by what? By the transforming of your mind. There's gray matter up here that determines so much about how we live life, how we see ourselves. Our brains, and our minds process so much. And if our minds and our brains aren't transformed by the renewing of Christ in scriptures, then we're going to be living all kinds of crazy. Or we're not going to be living into the fullness of the price that he paid for. Amen? Again, it also says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in verse 21 there. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Did you know that you're now a son and a daughter? God has given us the spirit of adoption. So it's not just like you're a servant. It's not just like you're a slave. It's not just like you are somebody who's, you know, God created and kind of forgot about. You have become a son and a daughter. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit who you receive does not make you slaves so that you are in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba. That basically means daddy. Daddy! You're my daddy. You're God. Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, that we also may share in his glory. We identify ourselves as sons and daughters. Listen, when our identity is like sons and daughters, our identity is being more than a conqueror, like Romans 8 talks about. 8:37 and 39. No, in these things, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, nor the present or nor the future, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You are more than a conqueror. Listen, our minds, our identities have to come into alignment. And from what I read, that I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I'm a son, I'm a daughter as well, that I am more than a conqueror. As far as the east is from the west, so my sins have been removed from me. I am now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm a new creation. I'm living free. Listen, the world is looking for something real. The world is looking for freedom, and they try to find freedom in all kinds of different stuff. All kinds of identities that are not aligned with what the scriptures say. They try to find identities in their friendships or in their work or in money or in their orientation or their gender or name it. Trying to find identity in all kinds of things. But there's only one place that we get the fullness of our identity, because if we go to the Creator who created us to be a certain way, and we say, God, transform and align my identity with every single thing that you say about me. I don't want to believe one lie that I picked up along the way. Whether that lie came from my family, whether that lie came from my environment, whether that lie came from the culture, I don't want to believe one lie that the enemy has that doesn't align with the truth. And some of those lies are sneaky little lies. Like, you can't be significant. Your life doesn't really matter. You missed your calling. You didn't do enough. You're not bright enough. You're not smart enough. Man, listen, the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
So if your identity is shaped around loss, destruction, death, I will tell you this right now, that is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came that you had a life and life to the fullness. And if you need an identity transformation, come to the one who will tell you who you are and submit to that and live out of that place. I remember I used to struggle a lot with my identity. I felt like, you know, and I was a young pastor at the time, and man, I felt like I could never get it right. I felt like I was constantly messing up, constantly just being like, oh my gosh, why did I get angry at this person? Or just felt like I was dropping the ball all the time. And I remember, you know, so I just felt bad about myself. I didn't really like who I was. And I remember coming to the Lord, I said, God, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm just such a mess. And God spoke to me, and he said something so profound. He said, well, Simon, you have false pride. And I'm kind of like thinking, I'm like, well, God, I got a lot of problems, but I don't know if pride is one of them right now. Again, I'm like, kind of like, how is this false pride? I'm like, well, God, I don't understand. You're saying I've got false pride? He said, yeah, you got false pride. He said, okay, let me show you. He said, Simon, what do you think about yourself? I said, well, that's pretty easy. I feel like I'm kind of an imposter. I feel like I can't quite get it right. I feel like I'm like a chameleon. I'm a people pleaser. I'm always dropping the ball. I feel like that I'm easily angered. I feel like all this kind of stuff. I feel like I'm just kind of a worm. I feel like I'm kind of garbagey. I don't know why you saved me. I don't know why you love me. He said, okay. He said, well, what do I think about you? He said, open up your Bible. And so I started investigating some scriptures on identity. And so I started reading of some of these scriptures about being more than a conqueror. And as far as east is from the west, your sins have been removed. And you are more than a conqueror. And you become a new creation. And that you are no longer what you were, but you've been made new. And so I start reading that, and he said, okay, Simon, that's what I say about you. So which one of us is right? You or me? And I remember saying, well, God, I know that you're right, but I feel like I'm right. And he said, well, that's called false pride. You ready to lay it down? And what appears to be humility is actually not humility at all. Humility is receiving things that God says about you, whether or not you feel like they're true. Humility is actually coming into alignment with this scripture, coming into alignment with the book. Said, Simon, you've got pride in your life because you're not willing to embrace everything that I say about you. You feel like what you feel like, and you're allowing that to trump what I say about you. That's pride. And I will tell you, just like God told me, if that's you, you're living in pride. You're telling God with your life, I know myself better than you know me, because if you really knew me, you'd know that I can't get it right. I'm a mess up, blah, 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 blah. He's like, no, no, no. You've got it twisted. I know you better than you know yourself. I paid the price for you. And if you're in me and I'm in you, listen, you have become a new creation. I don't care what you feel about yourself. I don't care what others have tried to put on you. What I say about you trumps every single thing that anybody else has ever said, anybody else has ever done to you. That's what should give us our identity, amen? So as we just welcome up the worship team this morning, I want to just give us some scriptures. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I believe that this has to do with our identities as well. This is everything. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. This world will tell you, you know what? You do you. You do you, boo. You do your own thing. That basically means whatever you feel like you want to do, do it. Just do it. If it feels good, do it. It can't be. How could it be wrong if it feels so right? That's the pattern of the world. You get to determine what truth is for you. You get to determine all these things. But Scripture tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You do that by reading the Word. You do that by spending time in prayer and in worship, spending time with the people of God, talking about the things of God, not silly stuff of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we get a new mind. Anybody want a new mind for 2025? Anybody want to get a renewed mind? I do. My mind needs renewing. You know, we get dirty from walking around in this world. If you have social media, you guarantee you're getting dirty. If you listen to news at all, you can guarantee you got some mud on your hands and your feet. You need to be cleansed up. If you interact with any other people at any point in your life, you're going to get slimed. People are slimy. We're slimy. We slime each other all the time. But we need to be renewed by the transforming of our minds and come into alignment with what God says about us. And from that place, we can offer peace. We can offer love and joy and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We start moving in the Spirit because we're being transformed. We start living out of the actual full identities that God's given us. That we're not just sinners saved by grace. Yes, we are that, but we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. There's been good works that have been set out for us. In John 15 is my favorite passage of Scripture in the entire Scriptures. And in John 15:16, it says, you didn't choose me. This is Jesus speaking. You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you so that you may bear fruit. Fruit that will last. So that whatever you do, ask in my name and the Father will give it to you. We got to learn to take him at his word. We have to learn to take God at his word and say, God, your word trumps anything I feel. It's bigger than any of these things that I believe or that are out of alignment or that I may sense are true about myself. And listen, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to distort our perceptions. He wants us to think less than we actually are. He wants us to live as defeated believers. Well, all the time he knows you have an open prison door. You can go out and you can wreck hell around your life. You can pillage hell and employ heaven. You can go and release the kingdom of God wherever you're at if you just say yes and if you come into alignment, if our identities align with who God says we are. And I'm telling you, this will work in every single sphere of influence. Every single job that we have, you can be an influencer for the kingdom. You can be like a disciple of Jesus. And through your mindset, you can go and you can reach people that none of us can reach. God has for you special things. And he came that you would bear fruit on his behalf and for his name's sake. Again, at some point, we just have to take God at his word. Let's all stand. Man, I get excited about talking about identity because I need a reminder. I need to remember who I am in Christ, amen? I need to remember that walking in this world, we can get dirty hands, we get dirty feet. Interacting with people can make us feel heavy. But I want to have that fullness that Jesus was talking about. The enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we would have life and life to the full. In our identities, in ourself, our sense of self. Listen, he wants to give you fullness. And it requires humility. I mean, some of us probably suffer with pride of thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And that's an issue, of course, of itself. If you really think that you're something and you can do all this stuff, I believe God would say, well, come to me and I'll show you some things. You have nothing that I've not given you. You have no life in your body that I've not breathed in there. You have no resources in your life that he has not released to us. We have nothing apart from Christ. So he'll take us where we need to be. But I believe for most of us, it's the struggle is actually more with coming into the fullness of who God says that we are. Realizing that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That we have become a new creation, that we are living examples of what it means to be renewed. We are to be like a light on a hill. And so let's just pray this morning. I do want to open up the front, like if you want to do some business with God, if you want to say this is a fresh start to a fresh new year, and I've maybe wrestled with some things with my identity. Listen, there is no shame in coming up for prayer. There's no shame in coming to the altar. Again, even as we were talking about that, I remember coming down to the altar the first time I came into church in the city when I was 23 years old and how God encountered me and impacted me. And I want to open this up. Listen, if you need a new identity, if you want a fresh identity, if you've been really wrestling with some things and saying, I don't understand who I am, but you want to. You want God to infuse his identity, the fullness of that price that he paid. Come on down. But let's go ahead and pray. And as we pray, as we finish up, feel free to come on down. We're going to pray for you. You can also just stay in your seat, but we want to pray and we want to welcome the Holy Spirit to come and do what he can do. God, we come before you this morning, God. We recognize who you are. We recognize that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. You are the great creator, God. We look at all the beauty around us and we look at this earth and we look at the heavens and the mountains and the oceans and animals and life and people. And we realize that it all has a creator, an author, one who spoke it into being, and that is you, Lord. And Lord, that you have exclusive rights to define who we are. And Lord, so many of us, Lord, we just admit to you that our identities get messed up. Our sense of our own selves and who we are to you gets messed up. Who we are to each other, and we define ourselves by our performance. But Lord, thank you that the truth is that we're not defined by our performance, we're defined by yours. And your performance said, you came to the earth you created. You died for us on our behalf. You set us free from that death sentence, and that you came that we would have life and life to the full. It is because of what you did that we have life. So Lord, we just pray that in these moments, these next moments, that Lord, you would do something new. We want to have a fresh start in 2025. We want to let go of what was in the past and lay hold of what's now and in the future for us. Let's just spend some time in worship and just let the Lord minister to your heart wherever you're at today.
You know, and as children of God, we are children of those who he chooses to bless as well. So these are his words of blessing. Our identity is we are blessed children of God. Those old things have gone, and now we live for a new purpose for this life and the life to come, Lord. And we just thank you. You've given us purpose. You've given us opportunity. You've given us all that we could ever hope for or imagine, even more than we could. And as a God who wants to bless us, these are his words thousands of years ago, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord would make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, that the Lord would lift up his countenance, turn his face directly toward you, and when he does that, he gives you his peace as sons and daughters of the living God. And those words in that Hebrew Old Testament, Numbers chapter 6, Yivarechecha Adonai Ve'yishmarecha Yael Adonai pana vilecha vihunecha Isa Adonai pana vilecha viasam lecha shalom.
Walk in the fullness of being a child of God, walking in His peace that passes all understanding. As we know, He is for us, nothing could ever be against us. That's what His word tells us, and we embrace His word. We pray those things in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the name of the Holy One of Israel, Yeshua, Jesus, our Lord. And if you agree with it, just say amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Thank you.